My name is Francesco, and I'm the engineering manager for a cloud messaging team in Android. How many of you guys in this room have experience with C2DM? Android Cloud, well, a lot of you. Okay, I'm in the right room. So let me start giving you a brief introduction about this service, which we launched in labs 2 years ago at Google I.O. 2010. Now, very simple. What C2DM allows you is for your server to send a message to your application on any Android device. What C2DM allows for is what we call the send-to-sync mechanism. Let me explain with an example. We have a news server that wants to deliver an update on a topic to the devices of its subscribers. So the server goes ahead, sends the message, and when the application receives it, all it does is to connect back to the news server and grab for the new data. Now, the beauty of this mechanism is that it avoids the application the nuisance of having to continuously poll to check if there even is new data. And this saves battery life. Another thing that C2DM does is that if the server sends a message and the device is offline, it holds on to the message and delivers it as soon as the device comes back online. Now, C2DM messages are not really meant to carry the content with them. What they're mostly used for is to say, look, there's something new, go check it out. So if the news server sends three messages, which refers to update on the very same topic, and the device is offline, it would be really silly for us to deliver all three of them when it comes back online, because the application will continuously connect to the server and grab for the very same data. So C2DM does something that we call collapsing. When the device comes back online, we deliver only one of these. This saves data and allows for an easy application development, because since the server takes care of this use case, all that our application needs to do is, every time I get a message, I'm going to connect to my server. Now, send-to-sync is a simple and flexible mechanism. However, much can be done to optimize for all the use cases out there. And speaking about improvement, let's see how today we get started with C2DM. So we need a Google account so that we can go ahead and create and manage a client login token. At this point, we can compile a sign-up form and wait until we receive an activation email confirmation. At this stage, we are granted some initial quota. Now, the more we develop the application, the more users we get, hopefully, the more messages we send, the more quota we need, we come back, ask for more quota, and so on and so forth. Without any doubt, there is a lot that we can do to improve this process. Nonetheless, this service has seen a lot of traction. Along with all the applications of you guys that before raised your hands, we have tens of thousands of applications that are actively using this service every single day. C2DM processes billions of messages every single day, which is kind of impressive for a service that launched in labs. We were also kind of impressed by the amount of great feedback that you guys provided, so we decided to bring cloud messaging to the next level. So today, I'm very excited because I finally get to announce our new service, Google Cloud Messaging for Android. Thank you. We specifically designed this service to make it simple. So how do you get started, for example? You go to the Google Developer Console, click Enable GCM, and you're done. There's no more client login that you have to care about. So no more sign-up form or waiting for activations. And best of them all, we got rid completely of quota. Thank you. We're launching this service because we want to make it powerful. We want to address a lot more use cases out there. Let's go back to our news server example. What that application wants to do is to deliver that update on that topic to a big bunch of its subscribers in one time with one request. And now we can do that. A voice over IP or a video chat application wants to deliver an incoming call request if and only if the user at the other end of the line is online right now. Otherwise, there's no point. And GCM makes this really simple. And instant messaging applications, they don't really have a syncing problem. They have a messaging problem. Send to sync is a bit tight for them. They want to deliver the content of the chat message straight down to the application and be done with it. And now you can. And finally, we've been working really hard to make this service fast. But how fast can GCM get? We take 4.7 milliseconds to send a message. Now that I gave you the flashy numbers, I'm going to read through the disclaimers. This means 4.7 milliseconds is when GCM receives the message till the time that GCM sends the message. It does not include the latency due to the network between the server and the client for one simple reason. I don't have a say on that. And second, this works if the new server is here at the Moscone Center and the user is probably in Ocean Beach, San Francisco. But globally, what is the average latency that GCM introduced with those billions of messages, including use cases like the news server in Munich, Germany, and the user in Taipei, Taiwan? You know, GCM has quite a bit of routing to do with that case. Well, globally, GCM still takes less than a tenth of a second to process the message. Promise you're not going to notice this. But the best part of them all is that all this is still completely free. Your lunch and applause. So let's dive into this. Since the European Championship is going on, and Italy just won, yes. Let's say that we want to build the best football application ever, or soccer. So first thing first, what we want to do is to deliver score updates in real time during live events. And to do this, we're going to use GCM. So let me give you a high-level overview of how this system works. Well, first of all, our football application needs to tell the server that we want to use GCM. To do this, it sends a registration request, and GCM server generates a registration ID for us. Now, what is a registration ID? You can consider it as an address for this application on this device. The football app sends the address to the server, so when it wants to send the message, it can tell GCM where to deliver it to. Now, let's say that for some unknown reason, our users want to uninstall our app. The GCM server doesn't know yet that the app is gone. So when the football server sends a message, it sends it down. Now, the GCM framework on the device realizes, oops, the app is gone. So it heads back to the server and validates this address. From this moment on, every single message that the football server sends, it bounces back with an error of device not registered. If you get this type of error, it's a good thing to get rid of the registration ID from your database. So now that we have a high-level picture of how the system works, let's go ahead and implement this. Remember when I said that all you need to do is to go to the developer console and click Enable Google Cloud Messaging for Android? If you do so, you'll end up on a page like this. We only need two things here. The project ID up there, and the API key down there. And you can consider these two as a username and password pair. Just grab them, and you're done for good with this. So we go ahead and start writing some code, finally. Let's start with the application on the device. Three simple steps. Number one, we said we want to register. To do this, we send an intent to the GCM framework, which then talks to the server and generates the ID for us. So how do we send this intent? Now, bear with me, because the code can get a bit complicated here. With the GCM client library we just released on the SDK as open source code, the line in red is all you need to write. So you call the register function and pass in the project ID. Now, make sure that the project ID is correct, because that's the only authorized sender that can deliver messages to this one application. But perhaps I oversimplified the code a bit. Because if we leave the code in this state, every time the user clicks on the application, we're going to do this registration dance over and over again. To fix this, we add one line of code. The getRegistrationID gives us an empty string if we did not register yet, so we should go ahead and do so. Or it returns a registration ID, in which case we are done, and we can proceed to our second step. Now, the server is done generating our registration ID. It sends it to the framework, which then delivers it to us via an intent. So all we need to do is to listen for this intent. And here how we do that. Extremely simple. We extend the GCM base intent service class, and we override the onRegister function. Now, this function gives us already a registration ID, so we take it and give it to our server. But since we're here, there are two things that we want to listen for: registrations and messages. So let's go ahead and see how we grab a message. Same exact thing. We override the onMessage function. If we need the payload, we extract it from the intent. And now it's our time to do some magic. So we can go ahead and see step number three, permissions. Well, we do want our users to know that we are using GCM because we are effectively sending messages from the cloud. We are using data from the network, which is not always free. In Jelly Bean, we made this extremely simple again. It's one line of code in the manifest file. You still see C2DM written up there. It's not a typo. It's because we want to keep it backward compatible with Froyo Plus devices. So let's see what we've been checking so far. Our application can register with GCM. We can receive registrations and messages from the cloud. And we can tell our users that we're using data from the network. Nothing else to do. So we can go ahead and have a look at the server. What does our server know? So in step number two, we gave him the registration ID. And the authentication slide, we gave him the API key. So to send the message, what the football server needs to do is to perform an HTTP post request to the GCM server and pass in, along with the message, the registration ID and the API key. So the GCM servers get the registration, the API key, and sends it directly to an authentication server, which in turn responds with the project ID. Remember the username and password pair. But if you also remember step number one, the registration ID contains the project ID. We pass it into the register function. So GCM takes that project ID, compares it to the one from the auth server, and if they do match, it delivers the message to the device, to the application specified by the registration ID. Let's have a look at an example of a request. In blue up there is what we're going to put in the header of the HTTP post request. The content type, and GCM allows for plain text and JSON. Authorization key is our password, the API key. While in green is what we put in the body of the message. The registration ID, which is the address of the device, and the content of the message. So now we have a fully working client-server application which is able to deliver score updates during real time, during live events, and we can notify our users that Portugal just closed the match. This is pretty cool, but let's make it more awesome. Say that we want to add news updates to our application. We want our users to be notified about news of their favorite teams, of their favorite users. For example, I heard that Beckham was holding on top of his head a giant cup. Too bad for him, it was a Stanley Cup. We want to deliver this news to all his users. And to do this, we're going to use the message multicasting API. The idea is that we send one HTTP request with one message, and GCM delivers it to all the devices that we specified at the same time. And since it's a news update, we also want to use the send-to-sync mechanism. Let's look at the request. The first parameter in red up there is the collapse key. This comes from the C2DM times. If you remember when I said that the news server sends three messages, three updates about the very same topic, and when the device comes back online, only one gets delivered. Well, this happens if GCM knows that those messages refer to the very same topic. And to do so, we need to specify the very same collapse key. Now, below, we see the registration IDs. And this time, we have put two, or a list of them, which is the list of all the devices that we want GCM to deliver this message to. Let's have a look at the response. Well, GCM answers us with the number of messages exceeded, the number of messages that failed, and the list in the same order in which we specify the registration IDs in the request, with a message ID if it was successful, or an error code name in case it failed. So to summarize, we can send one HTTP request with one message and deliver it to multiple devices. And GCM allows us to specify up to 1,000 devices per one request. So if you look at our app, as you can clearly see, we have a Nexus 7 and a Galaxy Nexus, which all of you have now. Our application can receive the news update at the same time if our football server sends one request. But let's keep going. We want to know what David Beckham has to say about this Stanley Cup. It would be really cool if we could add social updates inside our application, delivered by some third-party service that does this for us. The idea is that our football server would deliver a message, a news update or a score update, straight down to our application, while a third-party service would deliver a social update to our application. GCM allows for this, and it's very simple. Let's look at the registration code again. In the register function, this time we specify a list of project IDs. These are all the authorized senders that will be able to deliver messages down to our application. When GCM receives this registration request, it creates one registration ID, which contains the list of all these senders. So when we listen for the registration ID, all we need to do is to send it to both our football server and to the third-party social update server. So with one common registration ID, we allow multiple parties to deliver multiple different messages to our very own application. And GCM allows us to specify up to 100 different project IDs per application. So our football server sends the news update, and the social update server sends the social update, and both get delivered to our app. Well, let's keep going. We want to monetize with our application. First, it would be cool if the app could tell us, hey, the match just started right now. But second, it would be awesome if it tells us, look, if you go into one of these bars, which we have deals with, before the match is over, and you show our application, you're going to get 25% discount on the spiciest chicken wings ever. And I really love chicken wings. Sounds a good deal. So we can, the idea is that we send a message down, but we don't want to deliver it unless if the message is expired. If we send in this message after the match is over, we don't want the application to receive it. Obviously, the application could see the message, detect that there is a timestamp that expired, and decide to drop it. But why deliver it in the first place? So GCM helps us here and allows us to specify a lifetime for a message. The idea is very simple. We send the message. If the device is offline and the message expires before the device comes back online, well, GCM simply gets rid of it. Let's have a look at the request. First parameter up there in red is time to live, which is how we specify the lifetime of the message in seconds. There is a second parameter called delay while idle. This as well comes from the C2DM times. It is a very nice feature. It lets us tell GCM server, look, even if the device is online, do not deliver the message unless the user is doing something with it. If it's idle in the pocket, just do not send the message. Do not wake up the device. This feature is really powerful in combination with time to live, because even if the device is online, sometimes the message could expire because of the delay while idle, before it gets delivered. Well, let's go back to time to live. We can specify values between 0 seconds and 4 weeks. If we set a value of zero, well, what it means is that if GCM receives the message and the device is online, we deliver it immediately. If it's offline, we just drop it on the floor. If we do not specify any parameter, well, GCM adds a default value of 4 weeks. The reason behind this is really simple. Say that you're a speaker in a conference like me right now. It's your first time, you're all tense, and your hands are shaking, and you drop your phone in the toilet. Happens to everybody, right? They give us a 7-inch tablet, so it's a bit too big to fit in the pipes. I save it. So the device is offline, and the server keeps on sending messages. But it's not going to come back online. So after 4 weeks, the GCM decides to do some cleanup and clears the database. But the best feature of them all, the one I like the most, is to be able to chat during live events in real time with users I don't know, but with which I share the passion about this sport. And to do this, we use the very basic messaging functionality of GCM. The idea is that we want to send the chat message with the content straight down to the application and be done with it. So if, for example, we send 3 messages while the device is offline, what we want GCM to do is to deliver all 3 of them, one after the other, as soon as the device comes back online. Let's look at the request. The simplest of them all, registration ID and the data of the message. But say that I went on vacation for a weekend or for a week. I went to Australia driving the Savannah way. I was lucky if I see a person, definitely was not connected online. So when I come back, I'm actually really scared of turning on my device. Who knows how much data is sitting on the cloud waiting for me to just turn on the phone? If GCM detects this use case, well, it does one simple thing. It just deletes all your data. And instead, it creates one little message that gets delivered down to our application and says, look, you're completely out of sync. There is so much data waiting for you on your server. Just go sync yourself. It's an angry little message. And what it tells us is, how many messages we are behind, how many messages have been deleted. And if you use our client library, there is also a helper function. You override the undeleted messages, and you get this total number of messages deleted, so you can go ahead, connect to your server, and do a full sync. But how much content does GCM allow us to put in a message? We are allowed to specify up to 4 kilobytes of payload per single message. And we can send up to 100 messages if the device is offline, before GCM decides to delete them and have us trigger a full sync. So let's pause for a bit, and let's check what we have seen so far. We have been delivered news updates with 1 HTTP request to up to 1,000 devices using the multicasting API. We've been leveraging third-party services features by adding them as authorized senders to deliver messages to our application. We've been delivering events or messages that expires by using the time to leave parameter. And finally, we've been adding instant messaging functionality to our application by using the very basic GCM messaging API. So with this in mind, we can go back to our very first feature, the one in which we deliver score updates in real time, and make it better by using a combination of some of these APIs. In this case, I would use the collapse key, because if a team scores twice, and then we come online, but only the last message matters. Time to leave, because if the match is over before we come online, then we don't want to receive any message. And multicasting, because that simply makes our life easier. So now we have this awesome server that sends lots of messages to lots of users, keeping them up to date with social updates, news updates, score updates, and whatnot. But what happened to all these messages? When the football server sends a message to GCM, what happens to it? Does it get dropped, sent, received, collapsed? I mean, mobile networks have pretty flaky connections. One moment they're up, the second later they're down. I drive through a tunnel, connection drops. I exit the tunnel, back up. How reliable is GCM? Well, Google Cloud Messaging has this technology we call Reliable Message Queue. RMQ, which sits between the server and the GCM framework on the device. And what it does, it ensures that the messages are delivered reliably. For example, if the server sends a message and right there, right when we lose the connection before hitting the device, message is gone. Now, the server swears it sent the message, but the device never received it. When the connection comes back up, the device connects to GCM during the login dance. RMQ figures out that the message has not been delivered, so the server goes ahead and sends it again. Now, ensuring message delivery, the classic way to do it is by ACKing a message. Server sends a message, the device receives the message, the device sends an ACK of the message, the server receives the ACK, and marks the message as delivered. But this mechanism is a bit expensive in terms of data and resources for us. Because if both sides have to send an ACK message every time they receive one, well, we basically double the number of messages. So what RMQ does is a little clever thing and implements a variant of a selective ACKing. The high-level idea here is that both sides stores a bunch of messages, and once in a while, we ACK the bunch. But this optimization reveals something, one of the biggest strengths of GCM. It is one that you guys don't even need to care about because it's transparent to the users and to developers, which is while Google Cloud Messaging is committed, is focused to deliver the best user experience by providing fresh and up-to-date data for all the apps, it is heavily optimized for battery life. Now, let me give you a high-level overview of some of the features that we added to GCM to optimize for battery. One thing that GCM knows is what's happening on the cloud. It sees a lot of messages coming from different applications. And if we go back to the collapsing mechanism, remember the three messages on the same update, and when the device comes back online, only one gets delivered. Well, that's awesome if the device is offline. But what happens if the device is online? Does it make sense to send continuously the very same update, the same news every 30 seconds maybe? If GCM detects such a pattern, well, then it decides to start throttling this type of message. And by throttling, it's a very simple thing. We just delay the delivery of this message. Now, delaying the delivery achieves two things. One, it increases the chances of collapsing. Let's say that we send this update every 30 seconds, and let's say that the delay is 2 minutes. Instead of sending four messages, we send only one. But second, and more importantly, increases the chances of batching. Now, if we put the message in the throttle queue, and we start the timer, let's say 2 minutes. I'm just giving random numbers here. And 2 seconds before the alarm goes off so we can send the message, another application sends a different message which we want to throttle as well. Well, when the alarm goes off, we send both messages. Because the most expensive thing that GCM can do is to deliver a message. We wake up the network, we wake up the radio, we wake up the resources. So if we send one message, the best thing we can do is to send everything that we have. And following this idea, let's say that we have a few messages in the throttle queue, and another server sends one message which we don't want to throttle. It's probably a chat message, instant message, SMS type, or whatever. When this message comes along, even if the throttle queue should keep this message for 2 more minutes, we just piggyback on this one and deliver everything. But we want to do more batching. So what if the server knew something of the client? What if the client tells him, hey, I'm idle? Now, the chances that the message from the cloud is the one that prompts the user to wake up the device and look at it diminishes over time. If we have been sending messages from the cloud for an idle device for up to an hour and the user's never reacted to it, well, we can kind of assume that the next message is not the one that's going to have the user look at it and unlock it. Now, the best thing we can do if we detect a similar pattern is to batch all the messages on the cloud and send messages batch of messages once in a while. But more, what if the device could tell us, look, the radio is up and the display is on. Maybe the user is browsing the web. But what a perfect moment to send down messages. What if it could tell us, I'm plugged in. Well, battery life is less of a concern. Maybe data is. So for data, what if we knew that it's connected over Wi-Fi rather than 4G or 3G? Well, one is definitely cheaper. But all this optimization works really well if you're a power user. I have millions of applications. I'm a super popular guy. I receive messages continuously. Well, this is really awesome. But if I have 2 apps that once in a while sends a message, well, if my device starts telling the server, hey, I'm up on my radio, I'm plugged in, well, that's worse. Right? We are wasting messages, wasting data. So since the server is the one that has global knowledge of what's happening, it's the one that's going to tell the device, look, now is a perfect moment for you to tell me when you're idle. Or, look, now it's a perfect moment for you to shut up. Another thing is, use cases are different. It varies by usage behavior. Let's say that we have still a few apps, and one of these sends once in a while the delay while idle bit. Remember, like, we can send a message, but we don't deliver it unless the device is unlocked. Well, then GCM would tell the device, hey, I need to know when you're idle and when you're up. But I don't need to know that frequently. So just tell me you're idle 5 minutes in. Well, in other use cases, it would be way better for optimization to tell the device, hey, let me know you're idle the moment the screen turns off. This is a really cool space where lots of innovation is happening. But one thing we learned here, that our messages can be in yet another state. They can be sent if the device is online. They can be stored if the device is offline. They can be collapsed if the device is offline, another message with the same collapse key comes along. And now they can also be throttled. So on an average day, for those billions of messages that we manage, what happens to these messages? Where do they fit? Which of these categories do they fall in? We went ahead and analyzed our logs and found out that on an average day, almost 55% of messages are delivered to online devices, while almost 42% they're stored on the devices, waiting for the devices to come back online. 2.6 are collapsed, collapsed, and 1.2 they're throttled. Those popular guys, the 1%. We found two things. One is that GCM does not lose messages. If we receive a message, we know exactly in which of these categories falls. And two, well, it would be really awesome if our developers could have access to similar stats. So we went ahead and integrated with the Android Developer Console, which already shows stats for your applications. But now if you log in, you can also see this type of metrics for your GCM and C2DM application. In a few weeks, Android Developer Console will roll out a new UI. So let me give you a preview of this new UI integrated with our metrics. Here it is. On the top left corner, you have a drop-down box menu where you can select the metric type. In this case, it's the GCM registrations. Now, this metric means the number of requests the devices up there make to register for this application with the GCM servers. On the top right, you can select the period of time for which you want to analyze this metric. And the tabs in the middle, they allow you to do a breakdown of this metric by Android version, device, country, language, and so on. For example, here, the breakdown is by Android version, and we can see that the majority of requests come from Gingerbread ICS devices followed by Froyo. We can go ahead and have, for example, look at the application version tab. We see we launched a few versions. The last one is most popular. And go ahead and go to the GCM errors tab, which is going to change name soon, and represent all the successful messages and all the error messages. Well, in this case, we had no failures. But the best metric is the GCM messages one. If we look at the graph, we can see that in the first week of June, something happened. All of a sudden, we started delivering way more messages. So either we rolled out a feature or rolled out a bug. And if you look at the Android version breakdown, we can see that the majority of messages we send, they land on Gingerbread, Froyo, and ICS devices, which is kind of in line with what we've seen with the registration request metric. We can look, for example, at the country. We see we launched in North America, as almost all the messages that we send land on users in US and Canada. And finally, look at the GCM messages status, which shows the metrics I was talking about. Sent, store, collapse, and throttle. And invalid requests, which in this case, they look like to be the majority. They are more than 70% invalid requests. So we can go ahead in the GCM errors tab and see what's happening. Very simple. We all of a sudden started to send a lot of messages, but we ran out of quota. Now, the best way to fix this is to migrate to GCM. Now, I'm feeling a bit lucky, and I'll try to give a live demo of one GCM application which all of you have been using so far, which is the Google I/O app, and see how the stats look like today in the Android Developer Console. Can you guys see, or should I magnify more? It's good. This is GCM messages, and you can see that on June 25th is when we started to deliver the content. We can see the majority of devices are ICS, Gingerbread, Honeycomb. Weird. Let's go to GCM message status. And what we see is there are sent messages, Tor messages, but there are also a lot of throttle messages. Simple explanation. Because when we were testing this, we started sending a lot of sync requests, and then GCM decided to start throttling it. And the GCM errors, I want to show you that if we remove the OK, we have not registered errors. We changed the version during the past 2 days. So we had a bunch of registration IDs in our servers, and when we changed the version and sent all the messages, well, the old registration that were invalid, we just figured it out, and so we had errors. And you can see this steadily going down, and tomorrow it will probably drop completely. One thing of this metric is that they are daily metrics, and they usually refer to up to the day before. Well, let's go back to our slides. So it said that to fix this error, the best thing you can do is to migrate to GCM. Well, to be honest, it's also the only chance that you have now. Because as of now, C2DM is in deprecation mode. We do not accept signups nor quote increase requests. But do not be scared because the C2DM servers are still up and running. I was debating whether to kill all your applications, but then I flipped the coin. I lost it. But GCM servers are also up and running, and they're very well, very much alive. And I suggest you migrate for two main reasons. One, well, this service is really cool. And two, not really, this service is really cool. And migrating is very simple. Three simple steps. Click to enable GCM. Point your server to android.googleapis.com/gcm/send. Here you want to use the API key. And all you need to change on the device is to register with the project ID. But if you want to take your time, you can do so. You're not going to bring down the servers for a while. And you can read all the cool new stuff we add in GCM, read in our documentation, which includes a getting started guide with a step-by-step tutorial, with demo code, which is open sourced, a demo application, which is as well open sourced, with instruction on how to use it and run it, a quick and dirty guide for C2DM experts on how to migrate, and advanced topics with pro tips on the rest of the documentation. And all this at developer.android.com. Thank you.